John chapter 8. Is everybody there tonight? Fourth book in your New Testament. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Are you with me tonight? You shall know the truth, not a truth, but the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free?" That really is not an accurate statement, because they were in bondage to Egypt. And they obviously forgot that part of things. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," verse 34, "whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Free indeed. Amen. I want to preach just a little bit tonight. I don't plan to preach a long time. And I know the time that we're in. I know the summertime is upon us here. But I just feel like God wants to do something great in the rest of this service here tonight. And you know what? It doesn't take the Lord very long to do that. We don't have to work ourselves up for hours and hours and hours until the Lord moves and touches. If we'll just put our minds and our hearts together tonight and say, "Let's have church, amen, let's touch God," and then we can go our way and be blessed this week, amen. But I want to preach about the beautiful sound of freedom, amen. The beautiful sound of freedom. Father, we thank you today for the word of God. Thank you for truth tonight. Ask you to anoint the word of God. Ask you to speak to our hearts and to touch us. Let the Holy Ghost move. Let the Spirit of God touch and move tonight. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Put your Bibles down. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise together. Praise God. Praise God. From your heart, give God a hand clap of praise. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. On three ships, they sailed out of England to look for a land that they could be free in. This is the history of our country here tonight. And they landed in Plymouth, Massachusetts. I was very privileged to live in Plymouth, Massachusetts for about a year and 9 months as we worked for the Lord and sowed some seeds in that city and in that area. They landed in Plymouth, Massachusetts and began what was later to be termed the greatest experiment in human history. A nation of free people. Amen. It was something that was burning in their hearts, and they went through much toil. They went through many snares. They went through many troubles to be able to experience personal freedom and being able to lead their own destiny and make their own decisions. They were tired of the King of England. They were tired of the oppression and the tyranny that was hanging over their head for generation after generation. And so they came, and they began with a little bitty colony. If you ever get a chance to go to the East Coast, you need to go to Plymouth Plantation. It is a reenactment of the plantation in which they established here on the eastern shore of America. Over the course of time, that little group began to grow, and they began to rebel against England, and they said, "We're not going to be a part of England anymore. We want freedom so bad, we're going to sign a Declaration of Independence." Praise God. And I got a feeling tonight what we need to do, every one of us needs to do tonight, is to sign a declaration of independence from sin. Amen. To sign a declaration of independence from this world and from this flesh and establish freedom. Praise God. Because it has such a beautiful sound to it. Amen. These men that signed the Declaration of Independence desired freedom and not tyranny. And they put their personal fortunes, they put their personal lives upon the line. And most of them died as poor men. They signed the Declaration as men who had much of goods in this world. And when it was all said and done, they were paupers and men. Many of them died without anything in this world because they knew there was another generation coming, and they knew there would be another generation after that generation, and so on and so forth. And they were tired of the bondage of England. They were tired of the oppression, working hard, and then somebody coming and taking everything that they had labored for, not being able to make decisions on their own, but they had to check in with a higher master. Amen. I'm telling you today, there is a beautiful sound of freedom. Praise God. It has a beautiful sound to it. I remember as a child, back in the 60s, the oppression of the black community and slavery that was here in America. And they were brought here against their will, and generations began to come from them. And slavery was a scourge upon the land of America. And we could go into that tonight, but there was a group of folks in Birmingham, Alabama, and they said, we're not going to ride the buses anymore. Amen. We're not going to pay tribute. Excuse me. To those that are oppressing us and those that are telling us what we can and what we cannot do. Amen. That we are not sub-citizens, but we want to be free people. Praise God. There's something about the sound of freedom, amen, that will cause people to rise up and to pay tremendous costs. Amen. To go beyond and to risk being put in jail, to risk losing their life, to risk losing their fortune, amen, because they want to be free. Is there anybody here tonight that truly loves the sound of freedom? Amen. I love the sound of freedom. When they came to this country, they signed that Declaration of Independence, and it paved the way for all people, no matter what upbringing you've had, it doesn't matter what color you are, it doesn't matter where you're from, amen. But now across the world, there is the ringing of this beautiful sound called freedom, amen. You don't see very many people going to other countries, but you see them flooding into America. You see them getting on boats and risking their lives, and many of them on in the Pacific Ocean, coming from the country of Haiti, in broken down ships because they want to be free. They're tired of oppression. They're tired of bondage. Amen. They're tired of the way they have been living, and so they're willing to take the risk and go the second mile to be free. Amen. I'm afraid today that we have taken freedom for granted. Praise God. We have taken freedom for granted, and we don't really know what it is to pay the price. We have come and grown to the superpower of the world. Amen. There is not a country that could invade us at this point in time. Amen. We have some 6,000 nuclear-tipped weapons that could be launched at any point in time, and nobody wants to rile up America. Amen. We have the highest protection per capita of the world as far as income is concerned. We live in communities and we take for granted the water that comes out of our tap when many, many places do not have water. Amen. I was invited the other day to go to another country and I had to decline the invitation. But as I spoke to someone, they told me there is in some places in those parts of the world where there is no running water, and they bring water in a 5-gallon bucket, and that's what you wash with, and that's all there is. There is no running water, and there is no sanitation. There is nothing but poverty and rampant disease. I'll tell you, I'm glad I live in America today. Praise God. I'm glad I'm an American today. And many, many are putting down our country, putting down our leaders. But I'm telling you what, with all of our problems, we're the best thing that's going in this old world. And the baseline of it is, the reason behind it is because we stand for freedom. Amen. We stand for freedom. We believe in freedom. We believe that somebody can get in their automobile and drive wherever they want to go as long as they can afford it. Amen. We believe that anybody can get up and say anything that they want to say. That doesn't guarantee that anybody's going to listen to you. Amen. But we have the right to say what we want to say. It's called the freedom of speech. Amen. Amen. I'm thankful today that I can stand in the pulpit with the call of God to preach the gospel and to preach whatever we feel like we want to preach. Amen. We've got to preach the word of God. Don't misunderstand me tonight. But it is the freedom that we have, and I'm afraid that we take it for granted, because in this land of freedom, there are so many that are in bondage. In this land of freedom, there are so many that are hurting because of a cruel taskmaster who does not care about their future. Amen. That taskmaster is sin, and it is promoted by the devil himself. Amen. And that's why we have such a problem in our country with drugs in this generation. I thought in my generation in the 60s, when there was psychedelic drugs and there was heroin and all of the things that we had to deal with back in those days, when it seemed like that was going away, and the hippie crowd grew up and decided that anybody over 30 wasn't quite so bad, amen, because they said anybody, don't trust anybody over 30. But what they did not realize and recognize was that they were going to go over 30 someday, amen. And I'm looking at some of you today that are over 30 now, amen, and we've come to grow up a little bit, and I thought maybe that would take care of the situation, but it hasn't taken care of the situation. Amen. Because freedom is not just a political thing. It's not. It's not just a political situation. It is not just a declaration of a country. Amen. But what freedom is really what is in your heart. Amen. It's really what's down deep inside of you. Praise God. I'm talking about spiritual freedom here tonight. Amen. Genesis chapter 45 and verse 9 tells us the story here. The call of God upon the man Abraham. And it says in Genesis chapter 45, that's the first book in the Old Testament. Amen. I got that one right tonight. And verse 45, towards the end of the book of Genesis, verse 9 and 10, haste ye and go up to my father. This is Joseph speaking to his brothers, and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast. Amen. There was a time of freedom here. There was a time where they prospered. It was a season of time. Many generations came and went, and all they knew was they lived in the best of the land. Praise God. They lived in Goshen, which was the best of the land of Egypt. They had flocks and they had herds, and they planted and they builded and they began to multiply, and they were doing well. They were doing very well, and they began to take for granted the prosperity and the blessings that they had. Oh, God, help us that we never take for granted the prosperity and the blessings that we have in our country. Amen. And may we never lose the understanding of the prosperity and the freedom that we have in the Holy Ghost. Amen. The blessings of having a godly mother and dad. The blessings of living and growing up in a godly home. Well, praise the Lord, somebody. Amen. The blessings of having a church to attend. Amen. A place where we can worship God and we can hear from the Word of God. Amen. Never take for granted the very fact that we have a Bible that we can read and study. And in our generation, we have so much more than many other generations. Back in the early 80s, they didn't even have personal computers. And now here we are just some 30 years later, and we have them on our phones. Amen. We can pull up a Bible program on our phone, and we can study out the words, and we can understand what the words mean. But I'm afraid that we have gotten fat and sassy. Amen. In America. And we take for granted the things that we have and the things that are available to us. Amen. And we pass them off as though they are just common and ordinary. But I'm telling you tonight, church, our church is not common and ordinary. The Word of God that we hear is not common and ordinary. Amen. The relationship that we have with our God is not common and ordinary. It's awesome. Amen. And it is something that we must cherish and something that we must sign away our lives for. Praise God, because it is that precious. Amen. It is. Amen. Somebody said, I believe it was one of the founding fathers of our country, they made the statement that we are only one generation away from freedom. Amen. Because in every generation, freedom has to be paid for by the blood of those that believe in that freedom. From the very beginning, all the way through the Revolutionary War, amen, all the way through the Civil War, praise God, there was a fight. The fight was on, and it seems like there's always something that rises up that tries to steal the freedom that we have. Amen. I'm telling you, as long as we live in this world, we're going to deal with sin. We're going to deal with the devil. We're going to deal with our flesh. But I'm telling you today, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I'm willing to fight for my church. I'm willing to fight for my relationship with God. I'm willing to fight for these spiritual truths that God has given to us. I'm not going to take this freedom for granted tonight. Amen. But I'm going to stand up and I'm going to fight for it. I'm going to strive for it. I'm going to reach out for it. Amen. Because it does not come free. Praise God. The freedoms that we have in this country are not free. Amen. They came with heavy costs. Millions have perished and died, and the blood of many patriots, the blood of many slaves, amen, have fallen to this ground to bring us to the point where we are, where we can experience and live in freedom. And yet we're only now coming to a place where we expect the government to give us freedom. My friend, the government will never give you freedom. Amen. Washington will never make you happy. Amen. It'll never satisfy your soul. There's only one thing. It's not the kingdom of man, but it is the kingdom of God. There's only one place we can find freedom, and that's in the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. What a lovely sound. Peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. What a beautiful sound. Freedom. Amen. Somebody said that tonight. Freedom. Amen. I'm thankful for freedom tonight, and I'm willing to fight for it. I'm willing to stand for it. I'm willing to lose some blood for it. Praise God, because it is that precious. It is that precious. And so they moved everything down to Egypt, and they began to grow, and they began to multiply. Amen. Their talents and their abilities were let free. Amen. So that they could be the very best that they wanted to be. Amen. And that's where we are today in America. You can be the very best that you want to be, but unfortunately, and God help us, I'm not trying to be obnoxious at all tonight, but we have many, many in our society that, now let's just say it for what it is, they're just lazy. Amen. And expecting to receive something off of this prosperity, but I'm telling you what, friend, you can be the very best that you want to be. God never made us to be fed by somebody all the rest of our lives. But God made us to enjoy the fruits of our labor. Amen. God made us to labor so that we could have what we need and to be thankful for the manifold blessings of God. He gave us seed so we could put it in the ground and then rejoice when the harvest time comes. Amen. He gave us a mind to think so that we could invent new things and come up with new things. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, it comes with labor. It comes with hard work. It comes with toil. It comes with sweat and blood. And these people were let free. And any people that are let free will flourish. Amen. They will grow overnight. They will become a power overnight. Amen. Because that is the power of freedom, true freedom. Amen. They were allowed to live the way they wanted to live. And finally, generation after generation after generation passed. And there arose another Pharaoh who did not know the story of Joseph, did not know the story of Israel and how they had come down into this place. And he woke up one day and he recognized and realized, these people are filling the land. They're everywhere. And as I begin to look at them, they live longer than we do. They're stronger than we are. They're sharper than we are. They've got it together more than we've got it together. Well, praise the Lord. That was the direct result of freedom. It was the direct result of people that were let loose under the hand of God to prosper and to bless. And I'm here to tell somebody tonight, you can be free and free indeed. Amen. And you can grow and you can become what God wants you to become. And the sky is the limit when you're talking about freedom in God. Amen. The sky is the limit when you're talking about freedom in this world. You can be the best that you want to be. Amen. And push yourself and grow. And they did. They grew. Their cattle grew. Their flocks grew. Their families grew. They were strong. They were healthy. They were sharp. They were intelligent. Amen. Until the Pharaoh stood up and he said, I see all these people out here. I'm afraid they're going to take over my kingdom. And that's where the situation turns a little bit. Actually, it turns quite a bit. It's when we get into this mode of fear. Amen. And fear will always bring you into bondage. Fear will always bring other people into bondage. Amen. It will cause you to bring others into bondage. And the Pharaoh stood up in fear. He didn't have a understanding of true freedom. He just understood, I want to keep my position. I want to stay where I'm at as Pharaoh. And so let's deal wisely with this people, lest they rise up and overthrow us. Amen. Wouldn't it be great to be overthrown by freedom? Amen. Amen. He didn't look at it that way. He didn't understand that. Amen. We understand that we fought in World War II, and when Japan was destroyed, we literally destroyed that place. America went back and rebuilt the country of Japan. And not only did we rebuild it, we sent teachers over there. And they began to tell and sow the seeds of truth and the seeds of freedom. And today, Japan is a free country. Amen. It is a very prosperous country. It is one of the seven most prosperous countries in the world today. Amen. We went and we destroyed Germany because Germany was trying to destroy the world. Much carnage and much trouble came about because of Germany and the rule of Hitler. We destroyed that country, but we went back and we rebuilt it. And we established there the principles of freedom. And it wasn't very long after that until a man stood up at the wall, the Berlin Wall, and he said, "Mr. Gorbachev, if you really want peace and you want freedom, tear this wall down." Amen. Because the wall represented oppression. It represented bondage. Amen. But there was somebody with leadership. There was somebody with courage that stood right there at the wall, looked evil in the face, looked the evil of this world in the face, and said, "You're an evil empire. Tear this wall down, and let's have some freedom in this world." And praise God, the wall came down. Amen. And now Germany is not East and West Germany, it is Germany. Amen. It is a free people, and they have begun to prosper, and they were blessed, and they're still blessed today because of the truth of freedom. Amen. Pharaoh said, "Let's deal wisely with them." And so little by little, it wasn't an overnight situation. I hope you're going to hear this here tonight. It wasn't something that Pharaoh said, "Go out and just tell everybody you're not free anymore, you're going to be our slaves." They didn't do that. He was wiser than that. Do you know the devil's wiser than that? Do you know the government's wiser than that? They're going to pass little laws. And they're going to take just a little bit of your freedom away. And they're going to say, "It's just a little bit, but here's the good that comes from this. Amen. We're going to give you this, or we're going to allow you this, but it's going to cost you a little bit of freedom over here." And then as time goes on, another little bit of freedom over here, and another little bit of freedom over here. And the Jews were not wise enough to recognize what was taking place until the day that the whips were brought out. Until the day that they said, "No need to work your crops anymore. Your crops are not your crops. They belong to Pharaoh. You don't have a life anymore. You are now a slave. And whatever we tell you to do, you're going to do it." I'm sure there were uprisings when that came about, but they squashed the uprising. And they understood over the course of time that Egypt was now giving them their food. Egypt was now providing for them every day, but they had to work for what they received. And as time went on, what they received got smaller and smaller and smaller. And they had to cut back, and they had to get used to living with less. Amen. Be very, very careful when somebody comes along and tells you, "I'm going to give you everything you need." Well, praise God. Be very careful. Listen to this very carefully. Amen. Because God did not make us to just exist in this world for somebody else to give us everything that we need. Amen. But God made us so that we could be free people. God made us so that we could live in freedom. Amen. And the day came when they were completely, totally in bondage to Egypt. You know, that's the way sin operates. It's just a little sin over here. I remember the first cigarette I ever smoked. I remember the first puff that I ever took. I was going to be cool, and a friend of mine, he was already doing it, and he said, "Here, try one." And he just gave me his, and I took a puff of that, and I turned about five shades of green. I thought I was going to throw up. I got sick. I got lightheaded. I got dizzy. I thought, dear God, this is horrible. This is the most horrible thing I've ever done in my life. And I just looked brave and looked cool, but inside I was screaming out, I've got to get a breath of fresh air. This is killing me. Amen. But as time went on, another puff, until something changed in the chemistry of my body, and I began to desire those things. Amen. I'm thankful that God delivered me of those things. Praise God. I don't know if the Lord's ever delivered you from those, but friend, at $6 a pack, that's pretty expensive cancer. Well, praise God. The Lord does not want us to be in bondage to these things, but He wants us to be free. Praise God. He does not want us to be in bondage to the drugs of this world. Amen. The drugs that bring about all of the crime and all the things that we see in our world today. The Lord does not want us to be in bondage to sin. Amen. But He wants to set us free. Amen. And for 400 years, the children of Israel were full-fledged slaves. They ate melons. They were given melons to eat. They were given garlic to eat. Wow, can you imagine that? They were given leeks and onions. Amen. That's what they had to eat. And after a while, they got to liking it. Can you imagine just having a diet of garlic? Amen. I can't. But I guess if everybody smells the same way, then after a while, you get used to it. Amen. This is the way we're supposed to live. This is the way we've always lived. Grandpa and great-grandpa lived this way, and so it's normal. I'm supposed to live this way. Amen. But I'm telling you what, God's looking for somebody that will raise up their head and look on the horizon and say, there's a better way to live than this. Amen. There's a better way to live than this. And thank God, God intervened for them after 400 years. And it was actually prophesied about this. And He spoke to a man named Moses. And He said, Moses, go down and bring them out. Praise God. I'm not Moses here tonight. I'm not even close to what Moses was as a leader of Israel. But I'm telling you what, God called me here tonight to tell somebody there is an opportunity for freedom in your life. Amen. There is an opportunity to live as a free man, as a free woman. Praise God. And have your destiny in your own hands, in the hand of God, and in the will of God for your life. Praise the Lord. There can be joy, 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 joy. There can be peace in your heart. There can be a subtle feeling down inside that everything's all right. Praise God. And little by little you go upward and not downward. Amen, because sin will take you down. It'll take you to places you don't want to go, and it'll keep you longer than you plan to stay. Amen. It is never fulfilling, and it's always progressive. That's what bondage does. And Jesus came along, and He spoke to the Jews. These were people who had been down this road and should have known better, but they didn't consider spiritual bondage. They didn't consider the need to be spiritually free. And He said to the Jews that believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then you're My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Praise God. If you're My disciples, continue in My word. Friend, there's one thing that will set you free from all of the bondages and the hindrances of this world, and it's the Word of God. Well, praise the Lord. It's the Word of God. Because the Word of God is quick and powerful, the Bible says. The Word of God is like, it is sharper than a two-edged sword, the Scripture says. Piercing even asunder the soul and the body and the spirit. It is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Amen. It gets down to the joints, the Bible says, and goes all the way to the marrow. It goes all the way to the very foundation of your life. Amen. It is the Word of God. If you ever get to the place where you lose the love for the Word of God, you will slowly begin to lose your freedom. Amen. You will slowly begin to lose it. And I'm guilty here tonight, but I probably could not tell you all of the different things that are in our Constitution. But I think that we need to be educated enough that we have read our Constitution and know what our rights are. They said that the rights are not given to us by man, but they are endowed by our Creator. Amen. And we hold these truths as self-evident. Amen. And as long as we stay with those principles, then we'll know when to stand and fight, and we'll know how to be prosperous people. But if we ever lose the love for the Word of God, if we ever lose the love of preaching, amen, the ministry of the Word in our lives, slowly but surely we will begin to lose the freedom that God has given to us. Amen. Do you love His Word tonight? I love His Word tonight. And then the day came when Moses said, it's time to get out of here. And they got out of Egypt. God brought them through the water, and He brought them to Mount Sinai. And when they got to Mount Sinai, God gave them His Word. Amen. And the Word became the prosperous nation of Israel. Amen. And even to this very day, when people understand freedom, all you've got to do is look on a map and see where Israel is. Over here is Iran, a very vast place, huge country. And then there is Iraq, and that is another very huge country. Amen. You've got the country of Jordan. You've got the country of Saudi Arabia. You've got the country of Yemen. You've got the country of Egypt. And they are huge. On a map, they would be something along this line. Very, very large covering of the map of the Middle East. And then right in the very center is a little bitty strip of land. Amen. Some 9 or 12 miles wide and maybe 100 miles long. And that is the country of Israel. Amen. Today in that country, or rather in the other countries, there is a tremendous famine, or not a famine, there is a tremendous drought, and that drought has been going on for years. They don't have the water that they need. Amen. They're struggling. They're poor. They're striving. There are literally millions of them, probably maybe even close to a billion of them. But there in the country of Israel, there's only some 12 million, I believe, and they have figured out how to clean the water from the Mediterranean. And now they have more than enough, and now they're piping it. Praise God. Amen. Selling water to the other countries. Amen. Making a profit. Amen. They've come up with discovery after discovery after discovery. And they are literally the superpower of that part of the world. Right. You know why? Because they stand for freedom. Amen. Well, praise God. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus spoke of this in John chapter 3 and verse 5. Turn with me. Go back with me to the book of John. I'm not going to preach much longer, but I just feel like I need to do this here tonight. The book of John chapter 3. And here was a man of the Pharisees. Verse 1, his name was Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Why did this man come to Jesus? He was a Pharisee. He was a religious leader. He knew the scriptures. He understood the word of God. But my friend, there's more to it than just going to church. There's much more to it than just following a routine, amen, going through a program. Well, somebody ought to help me here tonight. I need your help. I need your prayers here tonight. He came to him because he was not a free man spiritually. He was free in a sense of the word because he was a Jew and he lived in that area and he was a religious leader, but he was not free in his spirit. He was a man that was in bondage to sin. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, this is John chapter 3 and verse 3 now, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And if I could say it this way here tonight, that when we are born again, this term born again, Jesus brought it out in verse 5, he said, except a man be born of water, that's baptism, and of the Spirit, that is the Spirit baptism, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. What he's literally saying here is we've got to be born again. What we must have is a death of the old life, a death of the old way of thinking, a death to the life that we've been living in sin, and we must be born into the kingdom of God. When we were born first, we were born into the kingdom of this world, into the kingdom of sin. But when we're born again, we are born into a spiritual kingdom. The first kingdom is the kingdom of flesh. The second is the kingdom of the Spirit of God. The first one is the kingdom of bondage. The second one is the kingdom of freedom. Praise the Lord. And if you're desiring freedom tonight, you're in the right place. Paul spoke of it in Romans 6 and verse 16. You can write this down and look at it when you get home. But he said, Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. We have a choice tonight, and that choice will make a big difference. Amen. There was a number of men that made a choice, and they said, we are going to sign a Declaration of Independence. We've thought about it. We've prayed about it. We've considered it in our mind, and we've made a decision, and we're going to obey the dictates of our heart, and we're going to sign this document, and we're putting it all on the line. We're going to live as free men from now on. All the way to where Nathaniel Hale, underneath the tree with a noose around his neck for being caught as a spy. Amen. He made the statement with his wife and children standing by, knowing what was about to happen. He made the famous statement at 21 years old. How old are you, Gavin? 15. In 6 years from now, would you be willing to give up your life? How old are you, Hunter? 14. In 7 years, would you be willing to give up your life and your future and everything? He said, I regret that I have only one life to give for my country. He lost it all for an earthly country. But I wonder tonight, how bad do we really want to be free spiritually? The only way is we've got to come to the same conclusion. I'm willing to die out. I'm willing to get rid of all of my sins. I'm willing to cast the past behind me and to go into God's beautiful future. But if you hang on to the past, oh, praise God. I said if you hang on to the past, it's going to drag you back into the spirit of bondage, and you're going to begin to serve sin. And when you serve sin, it will always bring death. Amen. It'll bring death to relationships. It'll bring physical death. It'll bring spiritual death. But thank God there is an opportunity for obedience tonight. Amen. God gave us the power of choice, and he'll never violate that power of choice if we will just choose today. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to do the will of God in my life. It will usher you into the kingdom of freedom. Praise the Lord. I want to just bring one thing out. Sister Reed, would you come tonight? Amen. I want to bring one thing out, and it's found in Luke chapter 10 and verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whither he would go. And he told them, you can read on, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you receive, freely give. And they went out. There was one that was among those, his name was Peter. He laid hands on people and they were healed. He spoke to the demons and they were cast out. But there was something about the Apostle Peter and the rest of the apostles. They had not been born again yet. They were just simply following the dictates of Jesus Christ. And amazingly, later on in his life, Jesus spoke to him in Matthew 26 and verse 34 and said unto Peter, truly I say unto you, this night, before the cock crows, you shall deny me thrice. You're going to deny me three times, Peter, after you've seen the dead raised, the sick healed, the devils cast out. Amen. You're going to deny me three times. He said, Lord, I'll never deny you. I'll die for you. What that really tells us is that you cannot do it on your own. You need the power of God in your life to help you. Because when push came to shove, and there were people standing around, and there was the intimidation of the crowd, they said, you were one of his disciples. I remember seeing you with him. He said, no, I wasn't. I don't know the man. He denied him once. Then in another moment, another group came along and they said, why, surely your speech betrays you. You're a Galilean. You live in the area of Galilee. Yes, you were one of his disciples. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know the man. And then another lady came and said, yes, yes, you're one of them. I saw you with him. And the Bible says he began to curse and swear. And he said, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know the man. And immediately after the third time, he heard the rooster crow. And he went out and he wept. And he repented. And he said, oh God, I'm a sinner. God, I'm in bondage. I'm in bondage to myself and my flesh and my sin. But thank God that wasn't the end of the story for the Apostle Peter. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 13, they were come in, they went into an upper room where abode Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. He was gathered together because of a promise, and the promise was the promise of freedom. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I'll give you freedom if you'll continue in my word. And the word was to them, go to Jerusalem, wait for the promise of the Father. The Holy Ghost will be poured out. And in Acts chapter 2, just one chapter away, while they were praying in the upper room and they were waiting for the promise of the Holy Ghost, I want to show you what happened. Amen. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. This is Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. The lying tongue was now gone out of Peter's mouth. The denying tongue was taken out of his mouth. And he began to speak in the language of this new kingdom that he was being born into. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Well, praise God. And guess who stood up on the first day of the New Testament church and said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Guess who it was? It was Peter. the very man that denied him, the very man that fell away from that relationship with Jesus. He was born again and now became a mighty preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you love him tonight? Are you free tonight? Are you a free person? Do you want to be set free? The plan is in Acts 2 and verse 38. Repent. The word repent literally means to turn around and go the other way. It's a turning from sin. It's a turning from the attitudes of the past. It is a spiritual death where we are crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. And then he said, after repentance, he said, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That's why we have a baptistry in the church. Paul said in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, we are buried with him by baptism. And so we die with Christ in repentance. We are buried with him in baptism. And then he said, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead. When we come out of the water, when we die in repentance and we are buried in baptism, we come out of the water and are filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. And we are now birthed into the kingdom of God. We become a babe in Christ and we begin to walk in his word and walk in his way and work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. Amen. I've delivered what I feel like the Lord gave me for this service here tonight. Amen. You can be a free man. You can be a free woman. Praise the Lord. You can be free and be locked up behind bars. You can be free and live in an oppressive regime. You can be free and live in a communist country. And in fact, Brother Urshan made the comment, his father went to Russia as a missionary, and he said that the church in Russia is probably larger than the church in America. You know why? Because they found true freedom. Oh, they want freedom in this world. But I'm telling you, they found the true freedom of God in their heart and in their life. And you can have it tonight, my friend. You can enjoy the freedom. Freedom from depression. Freedom from all of the heartaches of sin. Freedom from the bondage of sin. Amen. Loosed and set free with a destiny that's high. Praise God. A destiny of heaven. A destiny of blessings in this life. Amen. Because that's the way God does it when he touches people. Father, we reach out to you right now. I ask you tonight, God, to lay your hand upon us at this very important part of the service. Jesus, I'm asking you right now, Lord, lay your hand upon these people. Lay your hand upon me tonight, God. Help us to fight for our freedom. Help us to stand for our freedom. Help us, Lord, to understand the freedom and the power and the victory of God Almighty in our lives. I give you thanks. I give you thanks. I give you praise. I give you thanks tonight. I give you praise for freedom in the Holy Ghost and victory and joy and peace in our hearts. That's it. Come on, let's pray just a moment longer here tonight. Amen. Amen. Go ahead. If you haven't done it already, just find a place of repentance in your heart. It may take a little bit of time, but that's all right. Find a place of repentance in your heart and just ask God to forgive you of your sins. I'm tired of the bondage. I'm tired of being bound by this, that, and the other. Lord, I want to live as a free person. I want to live as a free woman, a free man. I want to have the joy and the peace. I'm tired of being bound by fear and doubt. tired of being bound by insecurities. Open the door in my life and help me today. Touch me and give me freedom in my life. There's somebody already praying at the altar tonight. Is there anybody else who would like to come and pray? Amen. It's just a matter of talking to God. You can do it right where you're at. But I'm telling you tonight, if you'll just open up your heart, talk to God like your very best friend, and tell Him you're sorry for your sins, and ask Him to forgive you of your sins. Praise God. Praise God. He'll do it. He's faithful. He'll do it. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. Oh, my Jesus, wash us tonight. Touch us tonight. Help us tonight, Lord. Help us tonight, Lord. Help